Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Monday of stories. Live in Los Angeles, it is The Herd. Home of winners, by the way. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. For the Rams, congrats, SoFi, so good as the playoffs continue. Joy Taylor's joining me. That was one for the ages. Every game was crazier. I am exhausted, yet slept well and ready to roll today for 3 hours.
Well, we said we were hoping for no blowouts, and we did not get any blowouts.
Greatest football weekend of my life. 40 years watching this sport. Greatest football weekend of my life.
A walk-off in every game. It was spectacular.
Let me start with this. Nobody can do it on an island. Michael Jordan needed Phil Jackson. And Scottie Pippen. Superstars need help. It's why it's important to find your kingmaker, your coach, somebody that's got your best interests at heart, even if it benefits them too. I start with this today. There have been three evolutions of quarterback in my life. This is my opinion, but it's the way I feel. The first evolution, I watched football back starting in the early 70s. And then Dan Marino and John Elway happened in 1983. For the first time ever, I wanted to watch the draft. They were going to be the best quarterbacks in the league maybe a year after they entered it. They were big and made throws nobody else could. For years and years after that, we saw tall, short, runners, statuesque quarterbacks. But the first evolution was Marino and Elway. They were just different. The second evolution, in my opinion, was Tom Brady and Peyton Manning in their prime 15 to 17 years ago. They made the game intellectual. We started talking about things like pre-snap dominance. There are now two ways to play, pre-snap and post-snap. We never talked about that in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. They made gunslingers like Favre look unsophisticated and too loose and not smart enough. They made the game intellectual. Manipulating defenses. You couldn't blitz or show your hand against them. They would burn you. People stopped blitzing both. The third evolution of quarterback, my friends, was last night. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Absurd, all-time A++ arm talents. Big and mobile and coachable and daring and 13 seconds off to go in the game is more than enough. We never talked about arm angles back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, or with Brady and Manning. Arm angles wasn't a term, really, was it? Now it's discussed by the announcers multiple times. And when you look at these great quarterbacks, in all these three quarterback evolutions, who won more Super Bowls? It was Elway over Marino, Brady over Manning, and right now, Mahomes over Josh Allen. Why? It's not like Tony Dungy, Don Shula, Sean McDermott can't coach. But they're not the perfect fits, in my opinion. Mike Shanahan gave John Elway that power running game that he always lacked. He won Super Bowls. Belichick gave Brady structure. It's what Tom lives for. His smoothies, his everything, his ice cream, his enjoyment, his vacations. It's all about structure, and Belichick has created the world's best football structure. And then there's Andy Reid, the great American football teacher of his generation. He is perfect for Mahomes. You know what they said about Patrick coming out of college? Mechanics could get sloppy, rough edges. You had to put up some guardrails. There is nobody in America better at that than Andy Reid. Never suffocates Mahomes, but is hard on him. Has to occasionally bark. and clean up his messes. That's what you do with a great artist. You're there to elevate him and sometimes pick up the mess. And Mahomes goes into many slumps, but he's incredibly coachable, and he understands the value of trust. There's a quarterback in Green Bay that never seems to. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are simply different. This is not a knock at Josh Allen and McDermott, but it's just a perfect fit. The other one's a really good fit. Even Michael Jordan needed a kingmaker. Andy Reid after on one of the greatest football games of all time, and I'm almost done saying that because I swear I said it about the Raiders and the Chargers 3 weeks ago. Here's Andrew.
When it's grim, be the grim reaper and go get it. So he did that. He went, he made everybody around him better, which he is great at. You know, he just does it effortlessly. When it gets tough, you know, he's going to be there battling, and players appreciate that.
Two great quarterbacks. One's already a champ. He'll be favored again, regardless of who he plays. And the other one, he'll get his, just not now. Let's talk Rams and Brady. The Rams were the better team. How do I know that? Because they fumbled four times, their Pro Bowl kicker came up short on a makeable field goal, and they won. And they won. In fact, in the history of the National Football League, the history, all the games, nobody's ever lost four fumbles, lost a 20-point lead, and won, except the Rams yesterday. They had more focus, they had a better game plan, they had more juice, and there was a version of that game, if not for that fumble by Cam Akers, that may have well ended up 35-42-3. They were the better team. What happened? Well, Tampa last year got healthy, and Tom Brady, who's in his mid-40s, needs all the help he can get, and Tampa's offense wasn't healthy. Worse, Jensen, the center, banged up. Ronald Jones not around. Chris Godwin, AB. Tom's not at the point that he can carry a banged up unit. And the Rams got healthier. But the takeaway I have from the Rams this year and now is it is an organization that coaches and trades and drafts without fear. Matt Stafford, swing big, home run. OBJ, thought he was washed, been great. Von Miller, what are they doing? Fantastic. They take big swings. And the difference between Matt Stafford and Jared Goff was on display. With Goff, too often, everything had to be perfect. Yesterday, the boat was capsizing. Cam Akers kept fumbling. Cooper Kupp never fumbles. He did. They hiked it over his head. This puppy was awash in nonsense. And Stafford was money. And there was a classic moment that really spoke to who the Rams are. They're tied at 27, and things are imploding, and they get the ball back with 42 seconds left. Let's take a knee. Let's go to overtime. Let's play it safe. Nope. In fact, Stafford got sacked on the first play, so now there's 35 seconds left with no timeouts. And what does Stafford do? Down the field. Win the moment. Win the game. Cup for 20. Cup for 44. A lot of teams imploding out of timeouts, just had a sack, would say, knee, overtime, this is a mess. They didn't. Big swings, over the top, on the road, against Brady, Matt Stafford, no fear. Von Miller, OBJ acquisitions, no fear. It's what the Rams are about. If you look at what has happened in this game today, you can coach it perfectly. Things happen. That game was potentially a mess. And Stafford, Cam Akers fumbles, Cooper Kupp fumbles. The center hikes it over his head. You get sacked with 40-something seconds left. Full speed ahead, play without fear. Let's go for it at the teeth of their defense. Here comes a zero blitz on the road, and we don't care. And I love that about the Rams. And here's Sean McVay after.
What an interesting game. What an amazing sign of resilience. team picking each other up. A lot of things didn't go our way in the second half, but guys just kept battling and found a way. And there's no style points in the playoffs. You either go home or you advance. And I'm so proud of this group. But my favorite part is guys just stayed together, all right? Nobody flinched, nobody blinked. Really excited for our players. They did a great job, and that's why you play four quarters and try to finish that game out. But that was something else. That was something else.
By the way, Rams, super aggressive late. Win, Kansas City, little left, go for it, one. We say this all the time. Aggressive is winning. Hey. You want to keep running it back with Ryan Tannehill? Knock yourself out, Tennessee. Knock yourself out with that stuff. You want to try to convince me you know who in Cleveland's the guy that'll lead you to the promised land? You knock yourself out. But the Rams just go big. Trades, acquisitions, quarterbacks. They got to the Super Bowl with Goff. They're like, not good enough. Upgrade. Let's go. And here they are. So fi, so good as the playoffs continue.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
For the record, I don't waste a lot of time on overtime rules. Get over it. Make a stop. If you have 13 or 14 possessions and you can't win a game, that's on you. Buffalo, make a stop. You got a defensive coach, number one ranked defense. You couldn't make a single stop. They drove right down the field on you. That's a you problem. Okay, there's a reason we don't want long overtimes. What if those two teams played a 25-minute overtime? What, forget inconvenience, what a disadvantage that would be for the Chiefs if they won that game after another 20 minutes of football. You could have multiple players injured. You'd have to go play the Bengals, who already have a day's rest on you, and then you play basically another half game. What do you just, the reason they want these overtimes to be fast is because they don't want it to be punitive the following week. These two teams go back and forth and back and forth. What happens if they're tied again after 10 minutes? And then you play another 10 minutes and another 10 minutes. Huge disadvantage for any team that would have to play another 20 minutes of football. Not to mention you could get guys injured. The better team won. Now they're better by an inch, but the better team won. Let me talk about Aaron Rodgers. We now have enough evidence. He's not great in playoff games. Hell, he's 5-4 at Lambeau, and he's been a favorite, I think, in all nine. He's not as daring in crisis as players like Burrow and Mahomes and Stafford are. And Allen, he's not as daring. He starts playing safe. And I believe it all comes down to relationships. This has always been my theory on Aaron, who has fought with his own family. Guys like Brady are all about relationships. They make stuff work. Tom gets along with everybody. I know a dozen people who Tom still today, football coaches, assistants, players, is still in touch with. He's a relationship guy. And what happens? Relationships are about trusting and elevating others and giving of yourself. Tom's optimistic. He'll make it work. Aaron is cynical by nature, not trusting. I mean, good God, after Mercedes Lewis fumbled, Aaron changed. Oh, I'm a victim again. Teammates aren't there for me. The next two drives, three and out, played it safe, no yards. Niners defense is good. It ain't that good. Aaron has privately criticized the Packers' inability privately, like they can't build a defense. Brady's got a defense. Look at these guys got a defense. If you just give me a great defense. That defense Saturday night for Green Bay was fantastic. And they were really good all year. Don't blame the defense. They got an interior lineman that's great, linebackers, safeties, corners. It's an excellent defense by Green Bay. You're at home. Be daring. Joe Burrow's getting a you-know-what kicked out of him for 3.5 hours. Doesn't care. Downfield. Stafford's team is melting around him. Doesn't care. Downfield. All these quarterbacks. Down the field. Stop playing safe. Protecting a legacy. Because they have relationships. Aaron doesn't have any. And the minute things go sideways, I've said for years, he is a bailer, not a baller. The last guy you want in a foxhole. Mercedes Lewis fumbled. Aaron changed. Three and outs, not throwing downfield. 21 of his 29 completions were to two people, Devontae Adams and a running back. Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams are his two targets. Dude, you've had all these wide receivers around you for 4 years. You don't have another trusting relationship? There's video evidence multiple times, especially that throw down the field to Devontae. He had other people open. But in order to throw those balls, you have to trust people, not be cynical. Put your arms around people. Tom Brady got Julian Edelman, and everybody else had Julio Jones and Larry Fitzgerald and Marvin Harrison. And Belichick gives Brady Julian Edelman, a quarterback at a Kent State. And Tom, it didn't work for 2 years. And Tom just kept grinding and grinding, glass half full. I'm going to make Edelman work. And 4 years later, you looked up and went, damn, he's like a stronger Wes Welker. Do you know the time and the trust you had to put into that relationship? Tom Brady could have been cynical. Matt Ryan's got Julio Jones. I got a college quarterback in the sixth round out of Kent State. But that's the difference. You can't do it alone. You can't always be cynical. You can't be a Baylor. We have evidence now. You can go look up the stats. If Aaron trails in the fourth quarter against a winning team, even at home, game over. That's not what he does. Stafford had the world collapsing. Mahomes was can you imagine being on the sideline with Mahomes? And Josh Allen brings that thing down the field and scores, and you look up at that clock, and Mahomes is like, challenge, box, check, let's go. Stop blaming special teams. Stop blaming other people. Be better at creating relationships, because this sport is all about trust. You got to trust your left tackle if you're a quarterback and your center. You got to trust your defense. You got to trust your coaches. You got to trust your coordinators. And you got to trust somebody beyond Devontae Adams. Yes, he's great. Can't do it with one receiver. The Rams have four guys now. Stafford gets OBJ, and an hour later, they have a relationship. An hour later. I mean, AB... Brady's made Moss work when everybody said he couldn't work. He made AB work. He made Edelman work. In an hour, he made Mike Evans work and Chris Godwin work and Scotty Miller work and Tyler Johnson work. That's what happens when you're into relationships and building them and enhancing things. After the game, Aaron Rodgers, I don't even want the quote, but he went out and said, hey, I'm not going to stay here if there's a rebuild. Oh, my God. I'm above a rebuild. First of all, Green Bay's not rebuilding. They're going to have to move some pieces to make it work, and they should bring Aaron back. Can you stop with the I am above a rebuild? Not really. Not at this point, because you're not as good as Mahomes, and you're not as good as Josh Allen. And I don't think you're as coachable as Justin Herbert, and you don't have the resumes of Tom Brady. You may want to stick around for that rebuild. And it's not really a rebuild. But again, it was the classic I'm above it. I am above a rebuild. Not really, bro. You're 5-4 at Lambeau, a favorite, I think, in 8 of 9 or 9 and 9 games.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Greg Jennings joining us live. And, Greg, I got to start with this. I said this about Aaron. Is if you make a mistake with Aaron, a lot of times he just won't go back to you. He will not. And I felt in this game, after the Mercedes Lewis fumble, three and out, no yards, that's how I viewed it. He got a little safe. And I just don't think you can in the playoffs. I think the talent's too rich. What did you see?
Well, I saw similar things, and I'm not going to say that he doesn't completely go back to his guys. He will, but it's all dependent on the trust that has already been established. And in the playoffs, that trust better be concrete. It better not waver. And you can tell he missed MVS because they didn't have a deep threat that would allow him to trust and open things up for other guys. Josiah DeGuaria, like, he had a drop, and he never saw another ball. Like, he had one target, that was it, drop, done. Mercedes Lewis had the fumble, never saw another opportunity. You had Aaron Jones making plays. He had 10 targets as a running back, and obviously Devontae Adams with the 11 targets. But yes, I agree. There was no spreading the ball around, allowing and forcing the defense to play honest and across the board with everything you had out there.
Listen, I don't think the Packers are in a rebuild. They're $44 million over the cap. They've got to get Davante Adams, bring him back in. They're going to lose some pieces here. But this is an organization that drafts well, develops well. And again, the division, we still don't know if Justin Fields is any good. We don't know who Minnesota's coach is. The Lions are the Lions. You don't have to have the best roster to win this division, and that still has relevance. Winning a division matters. Playing at home matters. Aaron and the Packers. When he said, I don't want to be part of a rebuild, I just thought it was like, dude, can we let the season breathe a little? A little? What did you make of that comment?
Well, I didn't make too much of it. I get what he's talking about, and he's specifically looking at his side of the ball. But defensively, they're nowhere close to being in a rebuild. Offensively, could they lose some pieces? Yeah. But he's making this statement because he understands this is what I want back. If we go back and listen to some of his previous statements, it's about relationships. The relationships that I have here, the relationships that I've been built, the relationships that I will foster forever. Those relationships start with guys like Davante Adams, making sure whatever the case may be, you bring him back. Whether that's the tag, whether that's signing him long-term, you bring him back. Robert Tonyan, he's spoken these names up. So he's basically telling the Packers, these are a couple pieces that I got to have before I make my decision. We saw that Randall Cobb was pulled back into the fold this year. It allowed him to play this entire year at ease, having a friend on and off the field. It's important to him at this stage in his career. But the Packers are, I agree with you, they're nowhere close to being in a rebuild.
No, no. They've got a bunch of good pieces. And by the way, they won this division going away, and they didn't have Jaire Alexander wasn't healthy. They lost their all-pro center. Bakhtiari was hurt. They had injuries at receiver. Za'Darius Smith was hurt. So they weren't even fully loaded and won the division. This team is fine. There's a lot of rebuilds in this league. Green Bay, in my opinion, is not one of them. Now, I want to go to Matt Stafford because you saw him for years and years. Here's what I loved is when his teammates let him down, Cam Akers fumbled twice. The center snaps the ball over his head. Cooper Kupp fumbled. It was meltdown mode. And he got wildly daring on that last drive. Greg, they had 44 seconds left, no timeouts. And they were at their own like 30. Then they got sacked. They could have easily taken a knee and just said, let's just get, we got to regroup here. I loved how Stafford was aggressive. Were you surprised at all with no timeouts, little time left, the team's melting down, that the Rams just decided, no, we're throwing the ball. We're going to win this game right now. I loved it, but I've seen teams kneel in that space. Your thoughts?
Well, the approach starts with your head coach. Your head football coach understands who's on the other sideline. Defensively, they understand who's on the other sideline. So if you have an opportunity to not allow Tom Brady to get the ball back, whether it's via coin flip, what have you, you don't do it because you understand that we have a guy that he's a slinger. Matthew Stafford, his entire career, he hasn't played with caution. He's always been able to make those throws. He's always been able to put his team in position to where they can be successful offensively, and he can come from behind. You know what you have. He just didn't need to make that big mistake yesterday, and he did not. That's all that was a knock, if you ask me, going into the game. Matthew Stafford has to out-duel Tom Brady and or match his play. He did that. His team won.
All right, Greg. I'll tell you what. When you watch that Packers game in 0 degrees, was there a little bit of you that missed playing in that kind of environment?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, look, you know what? Jenna Wolf texted me and said, man, do you miss that at all? I'm sitting on a big, huge bean bag at home with a blanket over me watching these guys in this weather, and I'm thinking, how in the world did I ever do that?
No, it's just absolutely crazy. Well, what a great weekend for football. Greg Jennings, it's great seeing you. You're in a doctor's office. I know you're okay because you're in great shape. And just keep doing what you're doing, buddy.
I appreciate it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Where Colin was right?
You guys don't like Jimmy Garoppolo, and I didn't think he played well. But he got San Francisco in field goal range late. He throws it right over the middle of the field. He was more daring than Aaron Rodgers, and two healthy seasons, two NFC championship. He gets the ball to the right people. He's not an elite arm talent. He's not super mobile. He got him in field goal range on the road, lousy weather, because he always gets it to the guy he's got to get it to. So Jimmy Garoppolo, and he did not play well. The weather was not conducive to great quarterback play. He wins. He's 4-1 in the playoffs career.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I told you, I only bet one game this weekend, Kansas City. I liked all the favorites. I said it all week. I didn't like – Joey was here. I said I wouldn't bet these. I didn't have any feel for any of them. I liked all the favorites. I did put a little money on Kansas City. And by the way, I was lucky to win that. Thank God for Patrick Mahomes.
Where Colin was right.
I said when Joe Burrow came out, I said he feels like Tony Romo, who I thought was a great quarterback. But you guys are making him in to be an all-timer. So I was wrong initially. But by the second game, I said, oh, no, he's way better than I thought. He's really, really good. And I have been a devotee of Joe Burrow. The fact that he was sacked 9 times and didn't flinch speaks so well of how he was raised, how he thinks, how he was coached, how he's currently coached. I mean, that kid, you would have understood if he just said, listen, I'm going to check down. I'm done getting hit. Nope. Refused to. In fact, the criticism that was probably the most just is, hey, Joe, could you get rid of the ball a little sooner? This kid, by game two, you could see it. He is simply different.
Where Colin was wrong.
I could not envision Green Bay losing. Aaron Rodgers went safe. He started going 3 and out. The Packers special teams were a mess. They were bad all year. They were really a mess. But you can't play that poorly as an MVP. I think Aaron Rodgers basically said, I'm going to throw it to Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, and that's it. Well, guess what? That makes you much easier to defend because the Niners knew you wouldn't throw it to anybody else, which is a huge mistake because the weakness of the 49ers is their corners. Listen, Cam Akers fumbled twice. You can't give up on guys in the playoffs. You got to get out of that stadium with a W. I am this morning still, to some degree, I'm never shocked in football. I mean, the Jags beat the Bills. I couldn't envision that happening. I tried Friday. I just can't get over it. The Packers defense was good, and Garoppolo wasn't. It's not like Jimmy came out was on fire. It's not like the Green Bay defense was a sieve and gave up. The defense for Green Bay was great. Garoppolo struggled. San Francisco still won.
Where Colin was right.
I predicted 3 teams would make the playoffs from the NFC West. I got 2 of them right. And I said all year, it's the SEC of the NFL. It will harden the teams. And if you watch San Francisco and you watch the Rams, both were in massive chaos and crisis this weekend. Sure enough, emotionally, put their head down and got through it. There is something to be said. Green Bay's division is so mediocre. How many times a year are the Packers in real crisis? If you play in the NFC West, you're in a crisis 6 times a year against your own division. I think it creates a toughness and a mental strength that has benefited the Rams and the Niners.
Where Colin was wrong.
Hey, I had my doubts on Matt Stafford. I knew he was better than Jared Goff, but Vegas even said he was worth only half a win more. And last week he only threw 17 times, and that led me to believe, are the Rams worried about him throwing? And this weekend, I had my concern. The reason I didn't take the Rams this weekend, I said, he's going to have to throw 40 times. I don't know if I trust him against the great pass rush, and Andrew Whitworth was out. He was really, really good. Do not blame him for the meltdown. If Cam Akers doesn't fumble, they lead 27-3 at half, and they're getting the ball, and that puppy is over. Some of that was just his teammates let him down. Cooper Kupp fumbled. Cam Akers fumbled twice. They snap it over his head. Don't ask me how a field goal kicker in 2022 who's going to the Pro Bowl comes up short. But the world melted around him, and he didn't.
Where Colin was right.
Been on this for 2 years. 4 coaches remain. They're all offensive coaches. You can go ahead and hire Dan Quinn, but there's a ceiling, right? You get it? I mean, Belichick and Sean McDermott can't stop Josh Allen. Nobody can stop Mahomes. There's limitations on what you can do defensively in 2022 in the NFL. So as I see all these organizations interviewing defensive coaches, I like Todd Bowles. I like Dan Quinn, Matt Eberflus. But I'm going with Brian Daboll. I'm going to probably go with a Bieniemy. I'm going to probably go with an offensive guy because I'm looking around at the cultural changes. If I got a young quarterback, I want somebody who sandpapers him, just takes off the jagged edges, like McVay's done to Stafford, Zach's done to Joe, and as Andy Reid has done his entire career.
Where Colin was right.
After Jerry Jones said last week, Mike McCarthy's my guy, I said Jerry has to reconsider. He's being conned here. And Jerry Jones came out a day later and ripped his coaching staff, and there is a story now that Sean Payton is not sure he'll resign. I said, Jerry tends to be loyal sometimes to a fault with certain players and coaches, but we said there's no way Jerry Jones, he's too smart to get conned, and this isn't working. They're not well coached. McCarthy doubles down on mistakes. They have to strongly consider moving off Mike McCarthy. And I'm not a fire the coach guy. I don't want people in mayhem losing jobs. Make him a senior advisor for the organization. Make him part of the family. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. But Jerry Jones was all in on Mike after that loss and has clearly wavered since.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
There's a question out there, will Tom Brady retire? I doubt it. He plays well. He's obsessed. It's a tough loss. He could. I have no idea. My concern with Tampa, though, and Joy's been here with this, my number one concern is Tom is intense and demanding and demands structure. It is who he is. It is his nature. Tampa's not. Tampa's loose. It's Ybor City. It's fun. The football standards aren't very high. Cocktails at 4. Everybody piles in. Levante David noted yesterday, it's quote from Levante David, we had turmoil all year in the organization. AB is loose. Bruce Arians can be loose. Tampa yesterday was not ready to play, and they were outcoached and outfocused. And Tom, he and Belichick live for structure. It's Tom's DNA. He loves structure. He loves business. And Tampa's loose, and they weren't ready to play. And it's one thing to win a Super Bowl or be successful in life. It's another to sustain it. That is harder because you're a target. And everybody in Tampa got paid. And everybody in Tampa got told how great they are. And Party Guy, he's not in it for the long haul. Party Guy's back to Ybor City. Hey, we got our money. We got our attention. We got our ring. In New England, you win a Super Bowl, they hold a parade. And they chant no days off. The victory parade in Tampa, even Tom got drunk. It's a different culture. It doesn't fit Tom. He overcame it last year. But they gotta tighten up the screws because they weren't ready to play yesterday. The drop passes, not a lot of symmetry offensively. They simply weren't ready to play. And that's what drives Tom nuts. You heard him quoted on that about 3 different times over the last 2 weeks. That was the quote. We've all got to be focused. We've all got to be ready to go. Tom kept telling all of us over and over, we're not buttoned up here. We're not focused here. And I watched that first half, and that thing, a Cam Akers fumble is the only reason it is not over at half. And Tom has been saying this, by the way. Tom said 3 times publicly in the last month, we've got to be focused. We've got to do our part. We've got to be ready. Tom gave us signals he was leaving New England. I didn't pay attention to enough of them. He kept telling us over and over, we're not dialed in here. And they weren't yesterday. Now, some of that is the Rams, I thought, were just spectacular. I mean, to go on the road and play like that, good for them.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Trent Dilfer, 15 years, a Pro Bowl, a Super Bowl, and a state championship coach. You know, it's interesting, Trent, I was thinking about you yesterday. is that you're a very successful business guy as well, and that cultures change, and you got to be, you know, you always talk about twitchy athletes, but you also have to be, as a business person, the good ones are twitchy. You got to pivot off stuff. And I like Dan Quinn, and I think Matt Eberflus is great. We got four coaches left. They're all offensive. Belichick and McDermott can't stop Mahomes. You start, Vrabel couldn't stop Burrow with a bad offensive line. And I look around at this game, Trent, you're an offensive guy. You walk in, you see this every week. I would be really reluctant. You would have to so blow me away as a defensive coach, because I'm looking at this game, Trent, and it doesn't look like the game you played.
Sophistication. I don't want to put in the offensive coach, defensive coach bucket yet, because there are some defensive guys that are very, very sophisticated. They've evolved as the game's evolved. They've created a network of offensive coaches that they trust, that they'll hand it over to. They almost have an offensive mindset as defensive coaches. But the term I use is sophistication. It's very fluid. There's a lot of moving pieces as a head coach in the National Football League. You're dealing with a lot of external factors. Things are changing every day. You have to be a sophisticated thinker. You can't be a curmudgeon. The days of the curmudgeon coach are done. The days of systems are done. What's happened now in football, because of how it's evolved, a lot it's because of the rules, a lot it's because of the attention, the money, just a lot of factors going on. The leader of the organization has to have a high level of sophistication. He's got to be able to teach football very well, just football in general, to his coaches and to his players. He's got to have a lot of things on his plate. And to your point, he has to have an offensive mindset. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be an offensive coach. We have to have an offensive mindset. So as you're going through this interview process, these general managers, you can't just get blown away by what you've done. You got to get blown away by the vision for where you're going and where you can take this organization, the people you're going to bring with you to help you lead the organization.
And I think, Trent, it's interesting because there was a moment in the Rams game. They got 35, 40 seconds left. And easy to take a knee and just say,
oh, yeah.
Let's get to overtime. It's man overboard. We are leaking water. And they didn't. And they got sacked. And they still went. And that, to me, signals McVay. Nope, we're not going to overtime. We've outplayed these guys. We're going right at them. I don't think a lot of defensive coaches think that. I mean, my takeaway was that was a moment. That is the league today. That series.
I totally agree, and I would put it in another bucket, that bucket of never flinching, and typically your offensive guys aren't going to flinch. Typically your offensive guys are going to have a more aggressive mindset. They're going to be more optimistic. Good things are about to happen, so something bad's about to happen. Most curmudgeon defensive coaches are from the school of something bad is about to happen.
Yeah.
Risk management, mitigate damage, let's get to the next play, you know, that kind of mindset. So again, I really don't want to make this mistake, because I do think some of the most brilliant coaches in football right now have a defensive background, but they've evolved to have an offensive mentality, an optimistic mentality. Something good is about to happen. McVay's the poster boy for optimism, and Pete Carroll as well. Something good's about to happen. So let's, hey, we got 32 seconds. We only have to go 45 yards instead of, oh, we have 32 seconds and we got to go 45 yards. That's impossible. I mean, it really is a mindset.
Sure.
And what you're seeing in this coaches league now is the mindset of the coaches of something great's about to happen. I got great players. They're going to make a play. We're going to find a way to win, instead of just rewind this 10, 15 years ago to where almost every coach was, oh, gosh, what bad is going to happen next to us?
I think of you as a relationship guy, because I've known you a long time and you've got a lot of relationships. You have them with your family, your kids, blah, blah, blah. And I think it's really the strength of Brady that he just sort of makes everything work. He just makes Julian Edelman, a Kent State quarterback, 3 years of practice. He just makes it work. And I've said this about Aaron, is that he can be a cynical person. And if somebody fumbles or makes a drop, he bails on him. And he's not a great relationship guy. I've seen his family call him out. I've seen teammates. And I watched him in that game after that Mercedes Lewis fumble. It's cold. He got hit. It happens. It is hard to play in zero. And he just threw to two guys the rest of the game. And my takeaway is, brother, we're all in a foxhole. you just got Cam Akers fumbled twice. You got to keep feeding him the ball if you need it. And I watched all these offenses this weekend. Green Bay's got safe. and got predictable in the second half. And I'm like, some of that, I can't blame LaFleur for everything, Trent. Some of that's the quarterback, right? Some of it?
I think he owned it after the game. You know, I've been watching you all morning, and I get your take on Aaron, and I don't want to say disagree. I'm going to defend him here in a little bit. He owned that in his press conference afterwards, too. Now, all anybody's shown is the comments he's making about don't want to be part of a rebuild, and I'm going to take some time to reflect and talk to Brian, and we have a lot of players that are free agents. But there's also sound after that game where he says it's unacceptable to score 10 points, and I'm the quarterback. I mean, he owned that offense was not clicking in all cylinders, and he didn't play his best football. I think that, and I'm going to take every losing quarterback and put them in this bucket. You cannot hold them to whatever they say after the game.
Right.
It is gut-wrenching. It just ripped their souls out. Both Brady and Rodgers admitted they were shocked. They didn't see themselves in this position. So I really tend to hold off and not hold any quarterback to what they say right after the game when the wound is fresh. I do think Aaron probably will own that he didn't play his best football, that I agree with you. He kind of locked into a couple guys, Jones and Devontae Adams. But you can also make an argument. There's a lot of coaches that will say, hey, when things are going bad, find the guy and let it fly. Like, find your guy and let it fly. Sometimes you can't trust other players. And I think Aaron went into that mode. Not saying it's right, but he definitely went into that mode during the game.
You know, it's interesting. We haven't talked a lot about the Niners this morning, and it is funny, is that, first of all, that defensive line looks like that one a few years ago that got to a Super Bowl. Like, it is. Bosa is a handful. Listen, they have given McVay fits. And take me behind the scenes a little, because my criticism on Shanahan has been, you know, sometimes he gets a little conservative with Jimmy, but Jimmy makes me, I'm a nervous wreck watching Jimmy play. But I did feel like Shanahan loosened it up a couple times and said, listen, we got to throw the ball down the field. And they threw it right into the teeth of that defense. And I thought Shanahan, quarterbacks know when a coach doesn't trust him. And I thought he put Jimmy in a position that he trusted him.
Let me stand on the Kyle Shanahan bandwagon here for a little bit, or soapbox. You know, he's a legendary aggressive offensive coach. Go back to the Super Bowl in Atlanta where he was almost too aggressive calling the game. I don't know if there's a coach in professional football that's evolved as much as Kyle Shanahan in a good way. You know, McVay takes all the credits, and these new young bucks, McDermott, these other coaches are getting a lot of credit. People forget about Kyle. I think he's one of the top five head coaches in the National Football League. And how he's coached this team in particular with the Jimmy G, Trey Lance situation, Jimmy G being banged up, not playing great all the time, a little inconsistent. I think he's evolved as a coach and coached this team. Remember, he's the head coach. He's not just the offensive coordinator. So when he's calling plays as the head coach, he's calling them with all three phases in mind. And I think he's done a great job of calling the games to fit Jimmy, to fit this team, and to win the game, not just to put up big numbers in the stat column. So I think Kyle's done a fantastic job. If this team has anything better than anybody else, it's soul. They just have a soul to them. They have a belief. I think that's why they have ownership on the Rams right now. They just have this deep belief in themselves. It comes from the top down with John Lynch to Kyle Shanahan to every coach to every player on that team. They know who they are. I think Jimmy G deserves a lot of credit for how he's handled this season. You mentioned it earlier in the show. He's become engaging. He's become enduring. I think he's a really good leader in the locker room. So I think this 49ers team isn't really flashy and sizzly like some of these other teams, but they're very dangerous, and they have a soul about them that can take them to the promised land.
Well, I thought that was the most fun weekend I've had.
Oh.
I would be so ill-equipped at 25 to handle this pressure. And I'm watching you deal with these young guys. Our quarterbacks now are not only gifted, they are so capable of handling these moments. I see no meltdowns. I see no meltdowns from any of these kids.
It was my biggest takeaway of the weekend. I like everybody else, that was one of the greatest weekends of football of my lifetime, if not ever. But my big takeaway that I wrote down was no flinch. these quarterbacks, for as talented as they are, these players, for as talented as they are, these coaches, there was no flinch in these winning teams. Regardless of what was going on around them, regardless of circumstance, they were just locked in on doing what they had to do to win the game. Think of Joe Burrow being sacked 9 times and being hit countless other times, yet he never flinched. Like, for most quarterbacks, you get sacked that many times. My wife even says, she goes, I remember those games for you, and you didn't have that type of poise. I'm like, well, no kidding. That's why I'm not a Hall of Famer. Joe Burrow's probably going to be. I mean, he just sat in there as if it never happened. Tom Brady, even though he lost, sat in there as if it never happened with the Von Miller stuff at the end of the game. Matthew Stafford sat in there and just was completely poised despite the craziness that was going on. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, the two of them, it didn't matter what happened. They never flinched. My big takeaway was that we are so lucky as football fans to have these quarterbacks, these coaches, their mindset, their mentality, and their talent.
Trent, he's got a podcast, Beyond the X's and O's with Trent Dilfer. He is at an undisclosed location by a beautiful lake, and I'll leave it at that. Trent, it's good seeing you.
Thanks, brother.